L'shana tova. Now, besides this greeting for Rosh Hashanah, we also wish one another a sweet new year. And in a little while, we'll be celebrating the new year with sweets of all kinds, including the very traditional apples and honey. Now, the origin of our tradition of apples and honey is debated by scholars, and some put out different theories. Some say the apples come from sort of medieval Ashkenazi Jews, where apples in that time period were considered a very rare and precious treat. And honey is connected to, milk and honey connected to the land of Israel. But sort of the exact origins are lost in time, why we've chosen apples and honey. But we can see on a very basic level and understand it because apples and honey are sweet. They're very tasty to eat. And so we wish one another a sweet new year. But what is it we're exactly wishing one another? Well, in general, I think we are hoping that the new year will be positive, that it will be pleasant for us, and that we can experience some pleasure in it as well. We're also hoping probably it'll be an easier year than last year, and that we'll be able to find joy in it. So we connect sweet foods with joy in our Rosh Hashanah greeting. And this connection is probably not very surprising. Ask any kid what food they want to eat, and it will usually be something sweet. If I were to remove the animal crackers from the nursery and the graham crackers from the preschool room, I would have a very cute but very possibly serious riot on my hands. Kids enjoy sweet things. You know, it's a medical fact that we're designed in a way that sugar triggers the release of the pleasure chemical in our brains known as dopamine. Now, I'm oversimplifying it a bit here, but it's part of the reason why many people will crave sweets like chocolate after a particularly sad or stressful day. And so we've been designed so that sweet foods can literally make us feel good. And that could be a great thing. You know, God created us to enjoy responsibly the things in his creation, which includes delicious foods like apples and honey, or beverages like wine. Taking joy and pleasure in God's creation is not a sin when it's done appropriately. But the key word there is appropriately. As sinful human beings, we have a strong desire to abuse the good things that the Lord has provided us. We take what God designed to be good on this planet and turn it into something sinful and destructive. For example, while wine makes glad our hearts, we could take the use of alcohol too far. We can become addicted to substances like alcohol, and most of us have seen the destruction that brings. Another example is that while sex is a beautiful act designed to bring a married couple close together, it's also heavily abused in our culture. Many are addicted to pornography or all sorts of unmentionable sexual acts, and through this addiction, not only hurt themselves, but others as well. You know, Rabbi Lawrence spoke on this in his message last night about our culture. You know, we can even become addicted to people, becoming codependent and smothering those we love and care about with overwhelming needs, using them to try and satisfy ourselves in a way that only the Lord can. And even sugar can be abused by human beings as well. We may not think about it much, but it's true. You know, natural sugars, like those found in apples, act on the body differently than refined sugars. Natural sugars cause the release of pleasure of that dopamine chemical in a more moderate, controlled way. In contrast, refined sugar causes a more intense reaction, a sugar rush or a sugar high. And it can create addiction by affecting our body's chemistry. We can be addicted to that rush. You know, I know of one rabbi that has called refined processed sugar the devil's food, as something as dangerous as plutonium or uranium because of how much destruction it can bring and the issues that it can cause. Now, I mention these things not that I'm arguing today that we need to live life as a monk, that we need to destroy everything good and enjoyable, that this sort of extreme self-denial is the way we should live. And in fact, this sort of extreme self-denial, if I were to preach that, would be against Scripture. Because in Scripture we read that this is not what God wants from us. But we do need to be aware how, as fallen creatures, we can abuse and seek after the wrong sort of pleasure, the wrong sort of sweetness. We will seek and become addicted to the pleasures of this life instead of focusing on Adonai and the next. And so when we talk about seeking after the pleasures of this world, I tend to picture cotton candy. You know, cotton candy is literally brightly colored, but it's nothing more than spun, refined sugar, the devil's food. No. While it tastes good, it has no real substance or nutrition to it. You know, you get a huge bag of it. It's like 2 ounces of actual food, and I put that in quotation marks, and it takes a bag about the size of you to fill it. It tastes good, but it has no substance. But it's incredibly attractive to our eyes and to our taste buds. And there is a reason why we find it in most carnivals and attractions with lines of people waiting for some. But if you try to live on cotton candy, we'd probably be burying you within weeks. You would have to consume bags and bags to even begin to satisfy your hunger. And it would create an addiction in you very quickly. Like cotton candy, the destructive, sinful, sweet things of this life are very attractive. Things like extreme physical pleasure, power, riches, being loved and liked by many people in real life and online. Much of our society is designed for us to consume these things to the point of addiction. You know, Facebook and games on our phones are literally designed to keep you on them psychologically, because that's how they make money. If you don't open it up, they're not going to make any money. And so these things are designed to get us addicted, along with so many other things in this world. You know, we're told through advertising, if we buy a certain thing or pay money for a certain program, people will love us or will be more powerful. But the deceptive things our society tries to sell us just lead to pain and destruction. We run and run trying to fill holes in our lives with nothing to show for it but time slipping away. I always think of that Pink Floyd song, Time, that it just passes by so quickly as we're chasing after things. Becoming more and more addicted and spiraling out of control until we're either forced to confront the issues in our lives or maybe die. It gets to that point for many people. So if the pleasures of this world are corrupted and lead to pain and death, what should we be chasing after? I probably won't surprise you when I say we should be seeking after the Lord and the sweetness found in Him alone. Did you know that celebration, that joy, is a spiritual discipline? Not the celebration of joy found in a bar, but in the joy found in properly enjoying the good things God has given us. Appreciating a beautiful day and the creator of it. We celebrate the holidays with joy, remembering how the Lord has saved and preserved us. This is the joy of freedom, such as during Purim or Passover. We party. We have a good time. We eat delicious foods. But we do not go to excess. And it's about God, not ourselves. You know, when I think of the sweetness of the Lord, I think of King David. King David was a man who understood the pleasures and addictions of this world. Just look at his life. He struggled with sexual sins, along with many others. But he was also a man after the Lord's own heart. He loved the Lord and loved the things of God, like his teachings. We read in Psalm 34:8, written by King David, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." And in Psalm 119, verse 103, "How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth." King David understood that the Lord was sweeter than the things of this world. We are invited to taste and see how good the Lord is. To seek out God and discover he is better than the sweetest things of this life, like honey. So what is the sweetness of God? Well, I could go on about this, but it's all the blessings the Lord pours out on us every single day. Blessings like peace, shalom, that goes beyond our circumstances. When everything is falling apart around us in our society, we can grieve the destruction, but have peace knowing that God is in control, not us. It is a knowledge that eventually true shalom will be restored to all creation. And it is a peace that no one can take away from us. The sweetness of the Lord also involves joy. A joy that does not just spike and leave us like a sugar rush. It's a joy that can never be destroyed. It's a joy knowing that we are heading to eternal life. That the Lord will satisfy our longing to be in his presence. As Paul writes, we groan in this body, longing to be clothed in our heavenly clothing. The joy in our sins forgiven through the Lamb of God, Messiah Yeshua. It's a joy in seeing God working in the world around us, bringing people to himself and building our communities. It's seeing lives transformed, addictions broken, wounds healed, and each of us maturing and growing. It's a joy in experiencing the power of God, seeing how he has saved us and prayers being answered. These are the things that give me joy. The sweetness of God is also the sweetness of wisdom. You know, there are many great books that have been written by human beings, philosophies, and all sorts of other books as well. But complete truth and pure wisdom is found in God's word alone. Wisdom is a tree of life, and we should hold fast to her. While we as human beings can write about some truth, and that's really truth with a lowercase t, it requires the Bible to experience the author and source of truth, capital T. Finally, the sweetness of God is taking refuge in him. It's in getting close to God and staying close through Messiah Yeshua. By accepting the sacrifice he has provided, we can be healed from the broken sinfulness in our lives so that we can get close to our heavenly creator. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit given to those who take refuge in the Lord that the chains of addiction and sin can be broken. We are then transformed day by day to be less like ourselves and more like our heavenly Messiah. Experience the sweetness of God in this life and even more in the next. As we enter a hopefully sweet new year, we need to seriously consider what is making this year sweet for us. Are we seeking after the sweetness of a fallen world, an artificial sweetener, or the sweetness of God? The journey of leaving sinful pleasures for the joy of the Lord is the story of the prodigal son. And it also comes to mind as I was writing about this and praying about this myself. You know, we probably all know the story of the prodigal son. He spent much of his life seeking after pleasure and spending his money recklessly. When the money ran out and the pleasure train ended, he was forced to confront everything he had been running from. The son came to his senses, that's how Yeshua puts it, then swallowed his pride and went back to his father, admitting his sin and asking to be forgiven. The father forgave his son and was overjoyed to have him back. You know, each of us are born into this life like the prodigal son, seeking after the wrong pleasures until the suffering of this world is overwhelming. Each of us need to turn back to our heavenly father through Messiah Yeshua, who welcomes us with open, joyful arms. Then we can begin to experience the sweetness of God as we are transformed by his Holy Spirit. May each of us experience the sweetness of God in our lives. May we all let go of the addictions and brokenness of this world and experience the Spirit of God, that brings true freedom, that breaks chains. May each of us taste and see that the Lord is good, taste and experience the goodness of God in our lives. Thank you.